Good morning, KSL News Time is 6 o'clock. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story this hour.
It is a developing story. The man accused of intentionally causing several hit and runs in the Salt Lake Valley, now being investigated in three other potential cases.
KSL News Radio's Adam Small is live with details. Adam?
Amanda, the Summit County Sheriff's Office confirms that they are investigating whether OnFam could have been behind the wheel of a hit and run in Park City 1 week before he was arrested in March. And that's not all. In a statement, Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill tells KSL TV they are screening potential charges for Pham in two hit and runs originally identified by KSL, one on 13th East and 9th South. The other we played you audio of and was caught on video of doorbell video camera on T Street in the avenues. Pham has already been charged with multiple counts of attempted murder and four hit and runs dating back to August. To date, he's been at minimum investigated for seven total hit and runs. Live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
Utah turns out is number three in the country for fatal construction zone car crashes. That's according to a new study. KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston is live with the details. Peter?
Tim, these fatal car crashes in construction zones are going up all around the country. Between 2012 and 2021, the number jumped by over half. The Lending Tree study looks at a decade of crash data from the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, and it shows that nearly 80 people died in Utah in these work zones during that decade, putting the state behind only Texas and Nebraska on this list. Passengers and drivers were most likely to die in these wrecks. And it's not for lack of legal rules against this. All three states have laws that aim to slow drivers down on the freeways. Reporting live, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
Four people are recovering in the hospital after a multi-vehicle crash involving a semi-truck on US 6. The driver of the semi is in critical condition. The highway was blocked for several hours. This comes just one day after a six-year-old girl was killed on the highway.
KSL's top national stories now. The Israel Defense Forces say that the largest number of humanitarian aid trucks since October, more than 400, have entered the Gaza Strip. But there's increasing fear that a pause in the fighting could lay the groundwork for future military action.
Gaza's second largest city, now unrecognizable. After months of Israeli bombardment, residents returning to the destruction after the IDF withdrew all its combat units from Khan Yunis. Palestinians describing the trail of devastation left behind. Homes crushed and burned, overturned cars and trucks littering what used to be streets. This woman says her house is now a mountain of debris. Despite pulling ground forces from southern Gaza, the Israeli military saying this war is not over.
That's ABC's Brett Clement reporting from Israel.
Family members with loved ones being held captive by Hamas got a private audience at the Vatican with Pope Francis. And family member Ashley Waxman-Bakshi says the Pope did not hold back.
Evil. He called them bad guys and evil. And he was very clear that the hostages need to come home. I think, you know, we can all agree.
She also described the Pope as warm and welcoming.
Chinese-Russian relations are stronger than ever as the foreign minister of both nations meet in Beijing.
Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi hailing the bilateral relationship, saying their close ties are hard-won and deserve to be carefully maintained. His Russian counterpart Sergei Lavrov's trip comes amid Moscow's grinding war in Ukraine and an ongoing effort to align their foreign policies against the U.S. and its allies. Wang says his country would support the convening of an international meeting recognized by both Russia and Ukraine, in which all parties could participate equally. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
Double amputee Sam Matangi traveled to Ukraine to help wounded soldiers adapt to new prosthetics. He tells KSL TV he wanted to help new amputees find simple success stories.
We were trying to bring them a sense of independence. It kind of put me back in my spot where I was. They're going to succeed and be more happier.
Matangi says regaining independence helps us know why we're here on the earth.
First look traffic as we head back over to the traffic center. Here's Andy.
Well, we've got traffic rolling on I-15 from Draper to downtown. Coming south from Ogden, it's less than 30 minutes travel time. And so far, so good. Weather not playing a factor so far in the drive anywhere. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
Opening arguments for the trial of Chad Daybell begin this week now that the jury has been selected. KSL TV's Debbie Worthen reports.
Chad Daybell faces charges of murdering J.J. Vallow, Tylee Ryan, and his late wife, Tammy Daybell. His trial is expected to last longer than his wife, Lori's, because he faces the death death penalty if found guilty. Now, a jury found Lori guilty back in May. She was sentenced to consecutive life sentences in July.
KSL Radio's Adam Small is in Boise preparing to cover the trial alongside KSL legal analyst Greg Skordis. Come back to Utah's Morning News tomorrow for the latest from Boise. You can also follow our complete trial coverage at kslnewsradio.com.
Airbnbs are becoming increasingly popular around the globe, especially here in Utah. KSL News Radio's Alessandra Gurr has more.
Over $1.2 billion were contributed to Utah's GDP in 2023 from the Airbnbs in the state, according to data from the company. Airbnbs also helped support over 15,000 jobs in the state and generated $360 million in total tax revenue.
Overall, Airbnb had a 19.2% increase in revenue in 2023.
Utah is one of a handful of states utilizing the potential of virtual power plants. KSL News Radio's Eric Cabrera spoke with Rocky Mountain Power to explain.
Virtual power plants are batteries that are installed where there are homes or businesses collecting solar energy. Residents, for example, can sign up for the WattSmart battery program through Rocky Mountain Power and get incentives for helping charge those batteries that can be used to balance the grid during peak load times or even draw power during outages.
About a little over 70,000 solar customers here in Utah, and we've got just a little over 4,000 batteries.
That was Jonna Whitesides with Rocky Mountain Power. Some states have even passed bills to further incentivize others to contribute. You can learn more about the WattSmart program on their website. Eric Cabrera, KSL News Radio.